So today we had some interesting dynamics clash. And what I want to show you guys is how two people in the Federal Reserve have completely two different views on the economy. I've been telling you guys over the last couple weeks, you have to really pay attention to who's talking to Wall Street and who's talking to Main Street, because is the person dovish or hawkish? Well, today we had a fantastic interview that I just watched on CNBC, and I wanted to share it with you guys because I get a lot of flack from people saying, Dan, you don't have a clue what's going on. Well, after you listen to these two Fed officials talk, let me know if you think it's me, or is even the Federal Reserve officials kind of like, what's going on? So without further ado, let's get over to it so you guys can understand.
We have an extraordinary two guests here. We have Neil Kaskar from the Apex Fed and Austin Goolsbee from Chicago Fed. And what you may not know is that they sit together at the FOMC meeting, although apparently it's reversed.
Yes, we're like the two guys on the Muppet Show, okay, you know, up right in the balcony.
Gentlemen, I did a little research before we started. The Vikings over the Bears, 65-57-2. However, and the Vikings have a real good home advantage.
Fake news.
38-24 over the Bears. However, the Bulls have an advantage over the Timberwolves, 39-28. So we'll see how we score this at the end, okay?
Okay.
Neil, we're going to start off with you. You written a piece on Tuesday talking about this idea, using the 10-year tips as the measure of how restrictive the Fed is.
So what I want you guys to understand, and you guys point out at the bottom, tell me if Fed official, the first one to talk, if he is dovish or hawkish. So either put a D or an H down below. And then when the other person talks, let me know what you think about his as well. Is he dovish or hawkish? So I want to make sure you guys understand the differences between the two. So let's get back to it.
Give us a very quick explanation of why that's a good measure, but more importantly, how restrictive is the Fed right now?
Well, in a sense, we have six policy tools: the federal funds rate, the expected path of the federal funds rate, the balance sheet, expected path of the balance sheet, actually four, excuse me. And how do you put all that together and say how restrictive is policy? The thing I like about the 10-year tips, it incorporates all of those factors and the outlook for inflation over the next 10 years. And we know investors base their investment decisions on longer-term interest rates, not on overnight interest rates. So for me, if I had to pick one measure on how restrictive policy is, it's the 10-year tips relative to where we were before the crisis or some version
and
of
that. And that's come down a little bit. It's 2.1. Is that good enough for you?
Well, we've raised the 10-year tips by about 200 basis points since before the pandemic, which is about equivalent to as much tightening as we did in the 1994 tightening cycle.
What I want you to explain there, or what you need to draw from there, the 2-year tips right now are 2.1 yield. Okay, you got to remember that one.
That suggests policy should be pretty tight. But when I look at real activity, such as in the housing market, we're not seeing as much of a pullback as I would have expected. And that's what makes me cautious that maybe we're not having as much downward pressure as 200 basis points of long tightening would have implied.
Austin, are you as cautious based on the economic data? This is maybe we're not as tight, maybe the Fed is not as tight as they thought they'd be given how much rates have come up?
I would say Neil and I are both in a spot where we've had cross currents coming through in the data. We had inflation, which I've been highlighting, the price inflation data, and especially the housing part of it, has been forefront on my mind. We had great progress in 2023, and we've hit these bumps at the beginning of 24, and it feels like we're both saying we need to gather more information and wait and see. On the question of are we restrictive, the Fed doesn't really control long rates. There's a lot that goes into longer rates. So I tend to look at the Fed funds rate minus inflation, the real Fed funds rate. And to me, the level of that is as high.
Okay, the federal funds rate right now is 5.25 to 5.5. And then you take off the inflation rate, which right now they're signaling is 3. So that gives you a 2.25 yield. So Goldsbee says the rate, the effective rate right now is 2.25, where the other person says he goes off the tips, and the tips are at 2.1%. So I just want you guys to take notice on that. So sorry to keep jumping in here, but I want you guys, you got to get the context behind this.
High as it's been in some time. Right. So I feel like we're in a restriction.
But let me respond to my good buddy Austin. We do this in FOMC meetings. Yeah. I was at the Milken conference earlier this week.
Yeah.
And the number one comment that I heard from major investors was, why does the Fed keep saying that financial conditions are tight? They're not tight. We think that monetary policy in part works through financial conditions. And if the business community does not feel like financial conditions are tight, that makes me question maybe we're not as restrictive as we would have guessed.
Right, but it begs the question, do you want to go higher then and to make it really tight?
Well, for me, I think...
Don't tempt him.
No, he made me do that.
Austin and I are actually landing in a similar place from different perspectives. I'm in a wait-and-see mode. Let's get a lot more data to see if disinflation is going to continue or if we're stalling out.
But you're not ruling it out, Neil.
Well, you can't. Nobody can rule it out. We are all committed to getting inflation right. back.
What about you? I don't know. I don't rule... Nothing is never not on the table, and the job of central bankers to be paranoid about everything.
One of your colleagues this morning, Austin, said that she did not believe that rates should be cut this year.
Was that a question?
It is a question.
Okay. Look, as you know, I don't like tying our hands, even partially, when we're going to get a lot of data and important information before the next meeting, much less for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. I think I don't want to speculate about the conditions. What we need, the data dogs need to do some sniffing and figure out,
right,
are we going to be on the path like what we saw last year where inflation fell almost as much as it has ever fallen in a year, sure, without a recession? Or did we kind of use up all of our good luck and this bump of the beginning of the year is actually a sign of overheating? That's the thing that we're trying to wrap
before you answer that question. I'm going to throw some question to you, but he called this inflation the last couple months bumps. How do you think about it?
I don't know. We saw massive, I know Austin and I agree, we saw tremendous gains in the supply side of the economy last year that drove a lot of the disinflation that we experienced. The question I have is, are we going to get more supply side gains? I'm a little suspect of that. And if now it's up to monetary policy to bring inflation from 3% to 2%, that's why my question of how tight are conditions right now, to me that's paramount, because if it's all up to us and not the supply side, then we need to pay very close attention to whether or not conditions are tight enough. And I just don't know right now.
How do you respond to what your colleague said this morning about the idea that maybe we don't need to cut this year? Maybe we can't cut this
then
year.
Then Austin and I are in exactly the same place. We need to get more data in, a lot more inflation data. We have a dual mandate. Have to watch both sides of the dual mandate. That will guide us. So I don't know. I'd rather speak in scenario.
For you out there that don't really know why the Federal Reserve was created, they have two mandates. One was to keep full employment in our economy, and the other one was to keep prices in check, aka inflation, at about a 2% trigger. So they don't only just control or focus on inflation, they also have to control and focus in on job reports as well.
Than in saying this is necessarily what I think is going to happen.
Fantastic. So based on this information, so if you've got guessed that the person on the far side over there, Goldsby, he's a dove saying rates, I think inflation's coming down, everything's okay, then he's a dove. And then this one right here, he's the one that came out on Tuesday and crushed the markets because he said, well, I'm not going to take rate increases off the table. So based on this data that we have, what's the bond market doing? The bonds are down 18 ticks. So again, you have to pay attention who's talking today. And today's verbiage in the markets are a little bit hawkish or more hawkish than they were yesterday when we saw rates coming quite a bit down. So hopefully you learned a little bit today about doves, hawks, and even the people on the Federal Reserve over there. They don't agree. So I'm just taking the data that I've learned through my 30 years of experience in doing this, plus with an economics degree and watching this market every day, and just trying to give you my feedback on what they're proposing, what the propositions of in 2024 and 2025 are going to look like. So thanks for watching, guys. Have a fantastic weekend. That's all from me for today.